Welcome, everyone, to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we are so glad you have joined us today. And we are excited about the Word of God today and about this show. It's going to be a fun show, Deb.
Amen.
All right. Woo. Joining me live in the studio today are Deb and Alice, part of our ministry staff from Beacon of Hope, who are temporarily located out there in Houston, Texas, long way away. They were here in Tampa, and a few months back, Alice's job transferred them to Houston, where they do have good friends, family, and grandkids and things like that. But we miss them in Clearwater, Florida.
We don't have Beacon.
That's right. But you guys stay in touch with us, and you are involved in the ministry. No matter, there's no distance, you know, and it's cool, isn't it, Alice, that you can be the head of the prayer ministry, which you are, clear out there in Houston, and on all your travels with your job, you're still in touch with your BlackBerry. Isn't a BlackBerry a wonderful little thing?
It's a tool of God.
It is. It's your friend.
It is. And, you know, it's wonderful because not only is it a blessing to me to be able to get the prayer requests out and the praise reports and keep everybody in contact with everybody else. And
right.
You know, but it's also a good way for me to keep in contact and know what's going on here in Tampa.
Right.
You know, because we're so far away, and it just keeps us connected. And so I think it's wonderful.
Well, it does. And we're so glad you guys can be a vital part and still, by the wonderful blessing of technology, and you're
Amen.
Still an active part. And we have, quote unquote, branches, I guess you want to call it, because he's the vine and we're the branches, right?
That's it.
So we have branches of Beacon of Hope scattered all over the United States, different places, different states. And we are so glad that some of those branches are tuning in right now. I got an email a few minutes ago from a branch over in Alabama who said that she would definitely, and some folks with her, definitely be listening today to the show. We're so glad. Our Georgia connection, our Indiana connection, we've got all those going on, and our Texas connection and different places. God is expanding the ministry and growing it, and we're excited about that, right?
Excited. Very
yes.
much so.
Yes. So we're looking forward to this show. It's going to be a great show. There's been so many answers to prayer, Alice, and we try to keep track of all the praise reports and prayer requests that come in and send them out right away. But we want our listening audience, and we'll mention it again later in the show, but we want our listening audience to know that there is a group of people, it's called a prayer team, from Beacon of Hope Ministries, that cares about their needs. Do you want to expound on that and tell them how they can access our prayer ministry at Beacon of Hope?
You can send an email to prayers@beaconofhopeministries, that's IES, .com. The email will go to four different people that are on, or actually five now, five different people on the prayer team. Usually it's myself that's answering and sending those prayer requests out, and then we have the backup people to handle the when I'm not available, and I usually will let them know when I'm not available.
Right.
And, you know, as soon as those prayer requests come in, we will send an email out to everyone in our prayer team.
Which is a whole lot more than five people.
Yes, yes. Well, yeah, those five are just the five main contact points.
Right.
And the email will reiterate what the prayer request is.
Yes.
It'll include a prayer. And
You write wonderful prayers because our people that are on that prayer team can pick up that email and just read it, right? Read
exactly.
the prayer.
And the neat thing about the prayer requests that go out, they're not just going out to other members of Beacon of Hope here in Tampa.
No,
those,
not at all.
There are people from Washington State,
right?
You know, way out to the west. People up in Michigan,
Indiana,
Georgia, Alabama, Florida, Texas, and some of these people are former members. Most of these people are former members of Beacon.
Right.
They have moved to other states, but some of these people are other contacts that we have made. You know, through whatever, work, church affiliations,
right,
whatever.
Sure.
And they're affiliated with other churches.
Right.
And that prayer request gets passed on to their prayer ministry.
Exactly.
Which goes out even further. So, you know, it's you were saying earlier about, you know, Jesus was the vine and we're the branches,
right.
You know,
exactly.
And how it branches out,
yes.
And how it just reaches. And, you know, it's kind of like that throwing the stone in the pond and the little ripples
Ooh.
Going out, and it just keeps going and going and going.
Oh, it does.
And we've gotten some awesome, awesome answers to prayer,
right.
And some miracles, and it's just, it's wonderful.
Yeah. It's the prayer of agreement. Yes,
oh, yes, definitely. And when those prayers are answered, you know, those praise reports are sent back to us as well.
Right.
And, you know, we're able to get those praise reports out so that the members of the prayer team know and they can see how God is working, and that just builds everybody's faith.
Oh, and He is. Oh, I mean, you know, every service at Beacon, we try to give people time to say the prayer request so we can get that out to the next on the next email. But the praise reports are just incredibly wonderful,
yes,
aren't they?
They're phenomenal.
We've had so many huge answers to prayer this year. Healings from cancer, you know, all kinds of things. I mean, really major things. Finances, jobs that people have lost that have finally. We were just talking on the way here that one of our good friends lost a job a year and a half ago and is going to work tomorrow, finally.
Amen.
And has a good job and starting tomorrow. So there's been answers to prayer. We give God the glory.
Yes, we do.
Amen and amen. Is it rewarding, Alice, to be the prayer team captain?
It's very rewarding. you know, like I said, it blesses me.
It does, doesn't it? So prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. That's how they send their request.
That's how they send their request.
Go ahead.
That's how they send praise reports.
Yes.
And if they want to be added to the prayer team, they can send that request to that email address.
And we want that. We really do.
Yes. The more people we can get praying, the better.
Exactly. Well, this is Christmas season, December, actually 13th. We all do all these shows live, 2009. We're glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we are local. We are in Clearwater. But as you've just heard, we're also every place else. So wherever the word goes out, we want you to feel that you can be a part of what God's doing in this ministry. You can be going to another church and still have an interest and have a part of Beacon of Hope, right?
That's right. You know, the more ways that you can absorb and ingest God's word, the stronger that makes you in your faith and your walk.
Exactly.
And, you know, God doesn't care how you get it.
Right.
You know, there's nowhere in this book that says you can only go to, you know, Uno number one church.
Right.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. God wants you to get that word however you can because,
Absolutely.
You know, not to discount, you know, the minister, the pastor of your church.
No, not at all.
You know, not at all. But, you know, what's the way someone explains it to you, you may not get it, and you hear it from someone else and you're like, ah.
That's it.
That's it.
One of those aha
you know?
Moments. We were talking
yeah,
about.
one of those rhema moments, and
right.
You know, and so, however you can get it, you know, whatever works for you, and God wants you to stay in His Word every
exactly.
day, whether it's in, you know, He'd prefer you to read your Bible, but you know, some people just aren't into that, so they got to get their Word however they can, and whatever makes your day easier and keeps you going.
Radio shows are a great way to do that. The TV, a lot of our people listen to Joel Osteen on Sunday morning, and that's great. And, of course, coming to church, and we're excited about this show today. We've got more to tell you about what we're going to do today. But the first thing we're going to do is play a song that is one of our favorites. Connie's put it on today's show. Ray Bolts, who is a friend of ours and a great musician, and has written this song, Shepherd Boy. Listen as Ray Bolts sings it, and then we're going to get into the Word right after that. We're glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life.
One by one, Jesse's sons stood before the prophet. Their father knew a king would soon be found. And each one passed, except the last. No one thought to call him, for surely he would never wear a crown. But when others see a shepherd, God may see a king. just a moment, he can touch you, and everything will change. When others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. Sometimes it's hard to understand, and things like chance and circumstance, they don't really matter. Our Father holds tomorrow in his hand.
What a blessing, Shepherd Boy. Amen. That is a great song. Oh, Connie, I'm so glad you put that one on here. When others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king.
Wow.
What are you thinking about that, Alice?
I think it's you know, you go through your life every day and you're just you.
Yes.
You know, and
yeah.
You don't think you're anything special. You're just you. You're
right.
Going through your daily life, doing your thing, and you're you.
Right.
You know.
Are you Alice?
but you know, and yeah. And then you hear a song like this and
yes.
You realize that, you know, maybe God sees something in me that I don't even see, or that, you know, other people don't see, or maybe other people see it and they try to tell you and you're like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Right. Oh, I think that is so true. I didn't even get to this point in the sermon this morning at Beacon of Hope, but when the angel Gabriel came to Mary, okay, he says to her, hail, favored one. Okay, in other words, you blessed one, the one that God has chosen. And, you know, I think Mary was very humble. Who, me? You know?
Yeah.
I'm just a little servant girl, you know, or I'm just a little person, you know, in God's eyes. And I think that's a great point, Alice, because God loves each of us. He created each of us. He's got a plan for our lives. Right. And we're going to talk about that today on Living the Good Life, that it we may feel insignificant. We may feel like we have no great purpose or no great destiny. But God doesn't see us that way, Deb.
Not at all.
He's got a plan and a purpose for our lives. And that is how it comes to be that we are going to start here in the book of Matthew today. In Matthew chapter 1, God had a plan from the foundation of the earth, which, you know, we know we can't even fathom that God has no beginning and no end. Can you wrap your head around that one, Deb? I can't.
No,
that God
not
has
at all.
No beginning and no end.
Not at all.
It's just impossible to do that. But God, in the very beginning, whenever the beginning, quote unquote, was, okay, God said, I'm going to create these children. I'm going to create this race, these human beings, you know, and I am going to give them free will. I'm going to give them choice. I'm going to give them the ability to choose to love me. You know, it's as if God was saying that. And then he said, I'm going to, at some point in history, which was the point, the exact appointed time, he was going to send his son to provide salvation, to make sense of everything, you know, mm-hmm. and to show us the Father. And he began to tell us about that way back in the book of Genesis. And I know you two weren't with us Wednesday night at Bible study, but we began to talk about the prophecies that were fulfilled in the birth of Jesus. And one of them was clear back from the book of Genesis, and it's talking about the fact that this special person, meaning Jesus, who this is referring to, was going to be born of a woman. Okay, and that's clear back in the very beginning part of Genesis, born of a woman. And God prophesied that clear back. Mm-hmm. He spoke it into existence. He spoke the word. And he began to show his plan. And one thing I think we need to talk about today, guys, is just the plan that God has for our lives. Because he does have a plan for us.
Yes, he does.
You know, and just like little David in that song, you know, all the other brothers were not chosen to be king, but God saw David's heart. What does that say to you guys? How important is that?
I think, you know, God searches us all out to see where we are, where our heart is.
Yes.
And he may have, God has a plan for us.
Yes.
We may not be on that path.
Right.
So, you know, God has all these things that he can show us that happened to us
right.
to bring our heart in line with his path.
Exactly.
And sometimes it's not pretty.
And sometimes it seems a little foggy, right?
Mm-hmm.
It seems a little difficult to see any kind of a plan. And clear back in the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve probably had no clue what he was talking about. You know, that there was going to come through the seed of the woman, mm-hmm. there was going to come, you know, this person that was going to bruise, it actually says in Genesis 3, bruise the heel of the serpent, which was the devil. In other words, going to conquer the devil, mm-hmm. you know? That's referring to Jesus, prophesied clear back in the book of Genesis. Another one in the book of Genesis says that this child of God was going to come through the line of Abraham, which is powerful. And we see that, yes, of course, if you are in Matthew chapter 1, if you have your Bibles in the New Testament, it's the first book of the New Testament, it says this is the family tree of Jesus Christ, David's son, Abraham's son.
Mm-hmm.
Goes clear back there where it all began, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the significance of this is that God had a plan. And I want us to talk about the fact that God sees inside our hearts, okay? He knows those areas where we are struggling. He knows those areas where we're strong. But he knows the fact that through it all, he's got an answer for us. In all of our times where things may seem a little foggy, and the two of you know, we were driving in the car here just a few minutes ago, were we not?
Mm-hmm.
We had church this morning at Beacon of Hope, and it was fantastic. God bless. We went out to lunch, some of us, and then we ran back to take Miss Jeannie home and all of that, and then we're in the car coming to the radio station. There's kind of a little window of opportunity there, not much time, right? And we're driving along. What happened, Alice?
It suddenly got foggy.
Extremely foggy,
yes,
didn't it?
It was bright, sunny day, and all of a sudden, bam, you're in fog. And
right.
You're like, how did that happen?
And we could hardly see. I had to turn my lights on, and you couldn't even see in front of you at all. And what happened? We came around the bend. We have a great way from my house here to the radio station. We get to drive all the way on the water's edge of the intercoastal.
Gorgeous.
And it's normally gorgeous,
mm-hmm.
but today it was
Foggy. We looked out over the water, and you could see a little ways out, but you couldn't see past, you know, the piers or whatever.
Oh, no, not at all.
And the sun was almost completely obliterated.
But
it was barely shining
through. At the same time, though, I mean, I looked out and saw the fog and was trying to look out across the water, and I looked up, and I could see the sun. Even though it was foggy, that light still shined
coming
through. And I thought, you know, okay, God is still shining through to show us the way. You know, that's just what I thought of.
Absolutely. And I really think at this, at Christmas season is a time where so many people feel like they're in a sea fog. Mm-hmm. You know, like they feel like, oh my, they're inundated with so much to do. Family dinners to prepare for, you know, plan for, presents to buy, you know, this person, this family member to contact or to put on a plane or meet somewhere, or busy time, Alice.
Yeah, there's just so many demands on
yes,
your time.
Yes, exactly.
You know, you have your regular day-to-day stuff that you've got to do. You've got to go to work. You've got to prepare meals. You've got to spend time with your family. And then, you know, and that's usually stressful enough.
Right.
And then added to that, you've got, you know, presents, decorating, parties, gifts, you know, it just goes on and on
it
and
does.
On.
It does, yes.
Writing Christmas cards, cleaning house because company's coming, making sure
right.
people have a place to sleep.
Right.
You know, making all the logistic things happen. And it can be overwhelming.
It can be overwhelming. And I think a lot of times that this year we find that people are depressed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, have you ever felt that, either of you? I mean, yes, you want to speak to that?
I've told my story before, but
you know, whatever you want to say.
I've been there, and I know how difficult it is, especially
right.
if you're going through a depression, to function on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
Just getting yourself up and out of bed and getting yourself showered and
right.
making sure you eat, and then, you know, having, if you have other responsibilities, having to deal with those too can just be an overwhelming and impossible task. You know, my suggestion for people that may be going through depression, especially during the Christmas time, is even though you feel like being isolated and keeping to yourself, stay in contact with people.
Right.
Because, you know, that'll help get your mind off of whatever's going on.
Right.
You know, in your own life. And that'll help you stay connected with people. You know, whether it's, you know, going to church or, you know, if you get invited to a party, you know, go. You know, don't just say, no, I don't feel like going, so I'm
right.
not going to go. Just get up and go.
Right.
And, you know, you may find out you had a great time, or you may find out it's a lame party and you go home. So at least you tried, you know. But don't try not to isolate yourself. Try to stay in contact with people. You know, reach out to somebody maybe you haven't spoken to in a while
right.
and go to lunch with them or something. And just, you know, and try not to, you know, maybe talk about what's going on with you, but listen to what's going on with them.
Right.
And you never know what they're going through may be worse than what you're going through. You may start feeling better about what you're going
better.
Through.
Well, so often, I'm glad you brought that up, because so often we feel like the Christmas season is just all of that. It is parties, and it is responsibilities, and it is obligations, and it is work, and it is stress. And I think that what we need to hone in on and bring into the show today is the beauty of this season, because it is all faith building. If you really understand that God had a plan from the very beginning, clear back in the book of Genesis, we see that God said, I'm going to make sure that this serpent, meaning the devil, it is absolutely destroyed by the Son of God. And that's what he's talking about in Genesis. And then he continues with these prophecies. So God planned from the beginning, even though all that happened with Eve, that he was going to send his son to this earth. So the prophecies are out there. Seed of Abraham, he was going to come through the line of Abraham. The important thing there is that Abraham is known as the father of faith, really. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that said, okay, God, when God said, I want you to get up from your common circumstances, your familiar territory, and I want you to move your family and go to the land I tell you to go to. Now, most of us probably would have said, who, me? I'm not going anywhere. And I was actually telling this story today at lunch, and I will make this very brief, because somebody asked me about the fact that I grew up in the mission field. My parents were missionaries, and I remember when my dad was struggling with the call of God on his life when I was like 9 and 10, and feeling that God was calling him to uproot his wife and three kids and go to Central America as a missionary. And I remember hearing mom and dad talk, not really understanding what that was going to mean for us. I mean, it totally changed our lives, obviously. But it took this man saying, okay, God, I'll do what you tell me to do. And he stepped out in faith. Abraham was the same way. You know, Abraham had a choice. He could step out in faith and do what God said. And had Abraham not, then God would have had to have a plan B, I'm sure. There was somebody else that it was going to happen through. But Abraham said, yes, praise God. And so Jesus comes through the line of Abraham. Okay, and then we look in Matthew chapter 1. It says right there in verse 1, not only Abraham, but he was David's son. Now, David is the one that we just heard the song about, the little shepherd boy, mm-hmm. right? That his brothers were not chosen to be the next king of Israel because this was the inauguration of the second king of Israel, first king being Saul, who had sinned against God, and God said, I'm done with him. I want you to go anoint a new king. And they go to the house of Jesse. The prophet Samuel goes to the house of Jesse, and Jesse has 8 sons, and 7 of them come before him. And as you remember hearing in that song, not one of those were chosen because they were not the one that God saw as the king. And that was so cool. In the words of that song, when others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king, you know? Relate that to our individual lives, to our, you know, to our listening audience who may feel very much less than. Can mm-hmm. you comment on that, Deb?
I can comment on that whenever I felt God's call on me to go into ministry work.
Yes.
I was like, yeah, right. You're kidding, aren't right. you? And I had several people that I really didn't know very well that came to me and you know, said, gave me word from God that, you know, this is what God had told them.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, God, you know, do you know where I've been? Do you know what I've done in my life?
Right.
You know, and it was just unfathomable. And, you know, you talk about, you know, God calling and telling, you know, telling your family to uproot and right. do this. You know, things started happening and I answered the call and
yes.
started doing the steps that I thought I needed to do.
Right.
And then things just kind of stagnated. And I was like, okay, fine.
You were in a sea fog, maybe?
I was in a sea fog. And I was listening and
yeah,
listening. And,
but you weren't hearing anything.
No. And then all of a sudden, God's like, you know, sell everything you own and be ready to move. And I'm like, yeah, right. Okay, sure. But we did. You know, we answered that
and
call.
And you answered the call.
And it was the best thing that we have done. I mean, God is right there. God knew that we needed to move for a lot of reasons.
Right.
That we needed to leave Texas.
Right. And that's how we found, you found us and we found you.
That's it. You know, but it was.
Last year.
And it was just listening to God. And
right.
I mean, it wasn't like God told me on Monday and I was like, okay, God, on Tuesday. No, this, he told me. And it was a good 4 or 5 months before I finally said, okay.
Right. It takes some time because I remember my dad struggling with this for a period of time. Alice, you want to comment on that before we get to station identification in a minute?
Yeah. I mean, you know, Deb and I both got that word of picking, you know, being ready to sell everything, be ready to
right.
pick up and move. And we got it at separate times. And,
right.
And it, you know, wasn't until we sat down and talked about it and realized what God was telling us that, you know, and it was a few months for me before
right.
I mentioned it
time.
To them because mm-hmm. I was going through this, no, this is my
right.
stuff, you know. I don't want to get rid of my stuff.
I don't want to get rid of my stuff, yeah.
Know? But, you know, you answer God's call and amazing things happen.
And that's what happened with Abraham and with David. Both of them said, yes, Lord. And because of that, because of their step of faith, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came through their lines. And we're going to talk more about that in just a moment. Let's go to station identification. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Living the Good Life.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
All right. Welcome back to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we are glad you've joined us. And if you are listening today and would be so kind as to drop an email to us, we mentioned this a couple weeks ago, and now we are beginning to get some results. And because people have said, how many people are listening and how do you know that, you know, this show is being heard here and there? We are beginning to really get some results, and some people have been dropping us a line. I would encourage you, just send it to me at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Just a little line. Yeah, I listen. You know, had a lady call last week. We've just had several things been happening lately. It's been encouraging, Deb, to hear that we've been on the air 2.5 years at this time slot every Sunday live.
And, you know, I think it's really neat because people do ask, well, how many listeners do you have? We don't know. And we don't know, and it's not because we don't care.
Right.
We do care, but we don't see the need to put this poll out on our website. Do you listen to our radio program?
Right.
You know, because we know that God has us in here for a reason.
Absolutely.
And we know that that reason is to get word out to that one person.
Exactly.
Now, that one person may be two or three or four, but we know it's that one person.
Right.
And the good thing about, you know, the good thing about doing like a goodwill gesture, right, getting God's word out, spreading it, you know, it's not about you're taking the praise and the glory because you helped, right, that one person out.
No,
it's God's glory. It's God's,
exactly,
praise.
Amen.
And we don't need to know.
Amen.
You know, we don't need to know the situation. We don't need to know where it's at. You know we are here because God has commanded this.
Exactly.
He's put this on our hearts.
In our
to
hearts.
Do that. But, you know, we, to
it's
be
nice
honest,
to hear.
We would like to know.
Yeah.
You know, so
send us a little note if you can. Alice, there are so many people out there listening probably right now. They're going through so many difficult things. We alluded to this in the last segment. Difficult times in their lives. And at this Christmas season, we want to emphasize to them that there is hope in their situation, that God's got a plan for their lives. And why do you think it is? I'm just going to put you on the spot here. We don't rehearse any of this. We're live. We're totally live. Why do you think it is that so often people feel that there's no direction, you know, that they're sitting out there in the middle of the intercoastal in a sea fog, you know, that they can't see in front of them to even guide their ship, you know, that they're just kind of lost? Because I think this is very prevalent.
Well, I can only speak from my experience. And my experience, I was in that position.
Okay.
I was in a sea fog. I was in a deep depression. I was medicated, and you know, I really lost sight of the promises that God had made to me when I was younger.
Oh, that's huge. That's huge right there. You lost sight of the promises that God had made to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had not that I had forgotten that He was there.
Right.
But I didn't sense His presence anymore. I felt that He had turned away from me.
Wow.
And I felt very alone.
Did you feel guilty? Were you feeling like you had done something to cause this sea fog in your life?
I don't know if I was feeling guilty. I think I was just feeling hopeless.
Okay.
Boy,
that's a good word, because
yeah,
at this season, I believe a lot of people, even listening today, feel hopeless, that there's not a purpose or a plan for them.
Yeah, I felt it was, you know, at one time I was like, you know, why am I even here? What, you know, I'm not doing anything. I'm not serving any purpose. I'm just here. I'm just living my life. I'm just me. I'm just ordinary. You know, I'm not making an impact in anybody's life. You know, I'm not. Yeah, and this is how I felt.
Okay.
I felt alone.
Okay.
I felt abandoned by God. I felt that anything that meant something to me wasn't what I thought it was, if that makes sense.
Sure.
It was a very confusing time for me.
Right. Disappointment.
Disappointment. Anger.
Yeah. Life hadn't turned out the way you thought it was going to.
Right. Fear.
Fear.
Because
okay.
I had no, you know, because things hadn't turned out the way I thought that they would.
Right.
I had no idea what was coming next.
Right.
You know, and when you don't know what's coming, it's fearful.
Well, it's anxiety
scary.
Producing. Don't you think?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
stressful. And I mean, that's the opposite of peace. You
mm-hmm.
know, God came to give us peace, and we don't have that when our lives are all in turmoil emotionally. Go ahead.
And it wasn't, you know, I had stopped going to church, and you know, I thank God for Deb, because Deb made a point of getting me back into church.
Okay.
I didn't want to go. I was so heavily medicated that I was basically catatonic.
Wow.
You know, I would, you know, she'd get me into church, and I couldn't tell you what was said or what
mm-hmm.
was done, because I don't remember it.
Right.
But I do remember some of the feelings that I had.
Okay.
And there were some feelings of peace.
Yes.
And hope.
Right.
But I was scared of them, because I'm like, no, that's not, you know, what's going on. And it wasn't until I, you know, and God must have given me this revelation, because I don't know where it
you
came
know
from.
You know he does. He does,
yeah.
he does.
And it was, I got this revelation, and it was like God saying, You know, I haven't gone anywhere.
Right.
I'm still here.
Amen. Preach
Where
it.
Are you? You know, and it's then that I'm like, oh, you know, I haven't been reading the word.
Right.
I haven't been listening to the preaching. And the one thing that has always ministered to me was praise and worship.
Yes, music.
And I hadn't been singing.
Right.
You know?
Got to have a singing heart.
And so I started slowly participating in praise and worship a little bit here and there, and singing and getting into it a little bit. And all of a sudden, it's like a light switch turned on.
Yes.
And when that light switch turned on, you know, Deb can attest to this. I woke up one morning, you know, and I had actually been declared disabled by, you know, Social Security. I was on full disability because I could not function on a daily basis.
Right.
And I needed
a miracle, girl.
I did. I got one, and his name was Jesus, you know?
Amen.
I woke up one day, and I'm like, you know, I just woke up, and it's like, I need to go get a job. This is ridiculous.
Wow. It was pretty scary.
Yeah. And so I told Deb, I said, you know, I'm going to go look for a job. And she's like, what? You know? And so
Alice,
I did.
What you're picturing and what you're telling us is, and this whole series this month, we're calling this the God of the Impossible, because what you're describing is probably something that some of our listeners can relate to. Maybe they feel that way now, or maybe there's been a time in their life where they felt that way. God of the Impossible, when there's no way we can make a change, we feel like our hands are tied, or we're in a straitjacket, or we are so emotionally crippled or beaten down, maybe abused, you know, or whatever the case may be, that we don't see any light out there in this big sea fog. And by the way, Deb and Alice, I don't think it's any coincidence at all that we came around that bend in Dunedin and we were suddenly in terrible sea fog that we couldn't see in front of us, because of course we didn't know that was going to happen. But look how that fits into the subject of this show. He is the God of the impossible. Was it impossible that in human terms that Mary, a virgin, would become pregnant with the Son of God? That is just blows your mind
away.
It was
impossible.
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 And Zechariah and Elizabeth that had no children, which starts the book of Luke, that story, which we have been teaching about at Beacon, and how they were older, didn't have any children. And God came to Zechariah and said, you know, you and your wife are going to have a baby. And he goes, you got to be kidding me. No way. We're old, you know. And because Zechariah doubted, was full of unbelief, and said, there's no way. This is Luke chapter 1. You can read it later. Because of that, you know what God did? What did he do?
He shut Zechariah up.
He shut his mouth.
He made him mute.
Until after the baby was born.
It wasn't like the day the baby was born.
It was
8 days later.
Because 8's the number for resurrection and new life.
That's right.
So it was 8 days after the birth of John, who became John the Baptist, which is the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth. This was another impossible situation. They could not have children. They were old. Abraham and Sarah were old, okay? 190, you know? I mean, those are not 190, but 100 for Abraham, 90 for Sarah. That's pretty darn old. Mm-hmm. And Sarah laughed at the tent door and says, oh, no, there's no way I can have a baby. I'm like way past that, you know? And a year later, she's holding a baby, you know? She had Isaac. Now, we are saying here today, here's the message, guys. If you don't get anything else, get this. We serve the God, ring that bell, the God of the impossible. We serve the God of the impossible.
Amen.
Okay? And these situations in people's lives, I feel preaching coming on, Alice. These situations like what you are describing, this was years ago, but it was debilitating, was it not?
It was completely debilitating.
Whatever I said, that was exactly what it was, right? It was completely debilitating, right? You were not able to function.
No.
You were declared disabled. That's pretty serious when you're declared disabled. And yet God looked down and saw your heart, Alice. And he saw Abraham's heart. He saw David's heart. You know, he saw that shepherd boy. He saw Mary's heart. He saw Elizabeth's heart. And Zechariah, and he said, these people deserve a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
God of the impossible.
The Bible is just full of these stories.
Yes. Amen.
Of impossible situations
that,
you know, people are like, okay, whatever. you know.
But it's true. But these things true. Happen.
I mean, the way God goes about, you know, molding this and making right. it happen, and then it just, boom, it's there.
And suddenly, and I've been, and I didn't bring this out in my sermon this morning, but he's the God of the surprise.
Oh, okay? Yeah.
And, I mean, he really, really is. And that was in Luke chapter 1 this morning when Zechariah was surprised, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, the surprise, I mean, incredible. Let's play this song, and then let's come back, and let's get more into the Word and talk more about this. We're so glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life, and we're going to play a song by the group Down Here, and it's How Many Kings?
Follow the star to a place unexpected. Would you believe after all we've projected? A child in a manger, lowly and small, the weakest of all, unlikeliest here. In his mother's shawl, just a child. Is this who we've waited for? 'Cause how many kings step down from their thrones? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least for me? And how many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that is torn all apart? How many fathers gave up their sons for me? Bringing out gifts for the newborn Savior, all that we have, whether costly or meek, because we believe. Go for his honor and frankincense, for his pleasure and myrrh, for the cross he'll suffer.
Praise God. All right. Who did that? Jesus, right? How many fathers gave up their sons, the Son of God? Oh, praise God. He did it for us. How special are we, Alice? Were you special enough for God to intervene in your depression, in your stupor? or whatever it was.
I must have been.
Why?
Well, I mean, you know, if you think about it, I'm just me.
Yeah.
You know?
You're a wonderful person, though.
Thank you.
Yes. But you have a heart after God, Alice. And God intervened. You had to be a part of you crying out for God's help. Was there not?
I believe there was.
Yes.
Even though I may not have realized, I knew I needed something.
Right.
And I must not have realized that I was calling out. But,
right.
You know, when I finally started getting back into participating in praise and worship, and I don't mean getting up in front and singing in front of people. I mean just singing during the praise and worship service in the congregation with everybody else.
Right.
You know, when I started just quietly participating.
Yeah.
It opened some doors in my heart. It opened doors in my mind.
It does.
And it allowed me to hear from God.
Amen. Praise is that. I mentioned that this morning. Praise is that key that unlocks God's intervention in our lives. When we begin to realize His greatness and His power, and we just say, praise God, I love you, Lord, and we begin to sing praises to Him, it totally changes everything.
It does.
Woo. So here we are in a sea fog, I think a lot of people are, not seeing the plan, not seeing where they're headed, not knowing exactly what's about to happen, right?
Right.
And that would be Zechariah in this situation, mm-hmm. where he had no clue that, you know, this was about to happen to him. He's in the Holy of Holies, you know, just ministering unto the Lord and doing his rituals and incense and all of that, when here comes an angel Gabriel, and sits down and says, you know what, you and your wife are going to have a child. How wild had that to be? But the thing is, he had a choice right there. Do I believe God or do I not believe God? You know? And of course, he came up with a whole lot of doubt and unbeliefs. That's why God shut his mouth. But it did happen. God did not allow that doubt and unbelief to stop his plan. That's my point. Okay? And in our lives, God's got a plan for you. Now, can you turn around and say, no, God, I'm not doing your thing?
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah, why?
Because God gave us free will.
Yeah, absolutely.
God,
yeah.
You know, I was sitting here thinking about, and I wish I had it with me, a short story that I wrote, and it's called My City. And it talks about how I lived in a city that had these high walls that protected me from everything that was harmful.
Right.
And I thought I was safe.
Right.
Behind those walls. And then somebody came along and penetrated those walls.
Yes.
And befriended me.
Right.
And I allowed those walls to slowly drop without realizing that's what they were doing. And I allowed myself to step outside of that walled city and see what else was out there.
Amen.
And, you know, I went for a while. And then I noticed that what was outside in this new city wasn't a whole lot different than what I was dealing with in my own personal walled up city.
Right, right.
Yet I had allowed those walls to drop so much that I couldn't find my way back mm-hmm. to my own personal walled up city. And I wrote that in a time in my life when I was searching, but I didn't know what I was searching for.
Right.
And that's based on a lot of truth that I did meet someone that allowed those walls to fall down. And, you know, I got into this fun, exciting, almost kind of like King Solomon and all of his partying and whatever.
Right.
And I allowed all that to go on. And then I realized, you know, with all this partying and everything that I'm doing, I'm still living the day-to-day life and having the same problems
okay.
that I had before.
Right.
But I didn't know how to get back to that safe spot. So the story just kind of ended. And I wrote this a good 10 years ago.
Okay.
And so now I'm moving forward after this story, and I'm learning how to deal, but I'm still searching. And that's whenever, even though I was brought up in the church, you know, I had left that. That's when I found God.
Amen.
And I didn't need to go back to that personal walled city.
Right.
And that personal walled city, for anybody that doesn't get it, that's the armor that you wear to keep people from hurting you.
there you go. That's it.
You've suffered so much stuff in your life that you build up these walls around you. You don't let it in.
You don't want anybody in there.
And, you know, unfortunately, it took someone meeting me to bring me out of that walled city.
Right.
To make me drop those walls. And I wound up getting hurt anyway.
Right.
You know, but I couldn't build those walls back up. And that's whenever I was down enough that God could get back in.
Exactly.
You know, and I think that in this where, you know, Zechariah was like, no way, this is not going to happen. You know, God's like, no, you know what? Stop.
Right.
You know, and I said this on the way over here, you know, that God kept him silent for 9 months right. so he could get it.
Yes.
You know, that he understood the whole process.
Don't you think they were talking? I mean, Zechariah and God on the inside all the time.
I'm sure he was screaming.
And he was beginning to get the spiritual understanding. Mm-hmm. And so often we don't have spiritual understanding till we're put in a position where we've got to shut up and seek God and find the way out of that fog, you know,
mm-hmm.
and allow God to show us. And it's interesting that Jesus was sent to this earth at the exact time because of this particular time. God did not want Jesus to come to this earth now. This would not had the impact that it did when he sent him, mm-hmm. you know? And to be born in a manger, all of these things were prophecies that had to be fulfilled. He had to be born in Bethlehem. And even that, the fact of being born in Bethlehem, his mother Mary conceived the child in Nazareth, not Bethlehem.
Right.
Right? And Joseph, who she was engaged to, they lived in Nazareth. Okay, and it just so happens, this is no coincidence, this is God's plan in advance. It just so happens that the time came for the census. This was not a census they did every year,
no.
and it wasn't a census they did every month. This happened every few years, and they were required by law to go back to the town of their ancestry, and they had to go to Bethlehem because of Joseph, the stepfather, or the foster father.
Yeah.
You know, not the real father of Jesus, but they had to go to his hometown, his line. And so Bethlehem was what? The line of David.
The line of David.
And that's where the prophecies come through. And Joseph had to be in the picture. He raised Jesus, even though Jesus was not his biological son. He was his son,
mm-hmm.
right? And Jesus came through that line of Joseph, which went all the way back to David and to Abraham. And so all these prophecies were fulfilled, and God had an exact point in time where he was going to get something done in history.
Don't you find it interesting that of all the things that the Bible does do and all the things that the Bible doesn't do, one of the things that the Bible doesn't do a whole lot of is telling the women's side of the story.
Right.
You know, yes. it doesn't talk about how Elizabeth felt about finding out that she was carrying this child.
Right.
Other than when Mary came.
Right.
And you know, John in her womb, you know, leapt in her womb.
Exactly. And that's, you know, Luke chapter 1.
And you know, it talks a little bit about how Mary felt.
Right.
You know, but at the same time, you know, what about Joseph?
Right.
You know,
yeah, we don't know a lot about Joseph.
And you know, there's a song out there, and I can't think who sings it, but it's a song where Joseph is like, you know, questioning God.
Right.
You know,
what's this all about? Why me? This situation?
You know, I'm just a carpenter. You know, why me? Why choose me to do this? And you know, it's
again, I believe he had a heart after God.
Oh, I do believe he had a heart after God. But you know, you got to think about what was Joseph thinking. You know. Because it was not just the fact that, you know, why are you choosing me to raise the Son of God?
Right.
Okay. But, you know, here's Mary. They're not married yet.
Right.
You know, they're just betrothed.
Right.
And she comes up pregnant. And, I mean, he could have ordered her stoned.
Well, he was planning on breaking up with her,
right,
really, it says. And then
that's when the angel came to him, you know?
Yes.
But even then, he could have said, I don't think so.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean...
We're back to that point. It's our free will, guys.
That's
we
right.
We have to make a decision.
And it's the impossible.
Yes. God of the impossible.
I mean, you talked about, you know, God wouldn't send Jesus. And I'm not saying that, you know, Jesus may not come again tomorrow. That's not what I'm saying. God wouldn't send Jesus... birthed by a virgin in a manger today.
Right.
Because I'm sorry, you know, a single woman having a baby today is no big deal.
Right.
You know? And I mean,
had to be in that point of history, right?
It had to be in a point of history where this was such an impossibility for this to happen.
Well, let's take that a step further. The other reason it had to be at that point in history, not just because of Bethlehem, David, line of Abraham, Jesus had to die on a cross.
That's right. He had to die on a cross.
And we don't hang people on crosses now.
Not here, no.
And, you know, in even most times in history, that's not been the method of choice of execution. You know, so it was also that it had to be the exact time. But, oh, isn't God fantastic? The God of the impossible lining up all the details that he did, you know.
And, you know, I said something about this, too, on the way over. For anybody that's listening that may not, you know, be into God's word and be a Christian and may be questioning, you know, well, science says this. If you do research on the wise men and exactly how the wise men figured into all of this.
Yes.
You know, they weren't, you know, really God-fearing men.
No, they were just scientists.
They were scientists, you know. I mean, they were wise men. They were scientists and astronomers. They were following the stars.
Right.
They were following the scientific signs.
Right.
And they saw this happening. And they were like, okay, we got, you know, this is something big. You know, so it was
God of the impossible.
God of the impossible. You know, I mean, God is like, okay, if you're not going to get it this way,
right,
then let me show it to you this way.
Exactly.
You know, and it just, like you said, it had to be, you know, it had to be Joseph, it had to be Mary, it had to be Bethlehem, it had to be the census.
Right.
But at the same time, God was causing all this other planetary alignment.
Exactly.
For the star.
For this huge star.
For this huge star, for the wise men to be able to get it. But the funny thing behind that is the fact that Herod,
right,
who's supposed to be this big wise man and have all these big wise people around him, they didn't see it coming.
They didn't get it.
They didn't see it coming at all, you know?
And you mentioned this in the car.
And he blinded them to that.
Oh, yeah.
God blinded them to that.
Oh, yeah. As we were driving through the sea fog, we were talking about darkness and how darkness envelops us. And that's what we've been talking practically, Alice, the last few minutes about
right.
you
right.
and how darkness enveloped you. But yet there was a little bit of light. There was a little bit of sun coming through that sea fog, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in our lives, so often the darkness seems to overwhelm and overpower us, mm-hmm. you know? But in this situation here with the wise men, what were they following? You mentioned it as we were driving.
They were following this bright light in the
light.
They were following this bright light. And I said, isn't it interesting that God, you know, Jesus says in the Bible that I am the light.
I am the light of the world.
I am the light of the world.
John 8:12.
And, you know, isn't it interesting that once again, a prophecy from God, that the day that Jesus is born, God causes these planets to align to form this supernova star in the sky so that it will light the way of the wise men and the shepherds that were out in the fields.
Oh, wow.
When the angels came to them and told the shepherds, you know, this has happened, they didn't say, okay, go down this road, turn left, and it's the first manger on the right.
Right.
You know, they just came and said, you know, that you know, Jesus is born. And here's this humongous light that everyone can follow that's shining, spotlighting right down on where Jesus is.
God of the impossible.
You know, and then at the same time, I said that, you know, when Jesus was crucified, the moment he died, everything went dark.
Went dark, darkness.
Darkness fell over mm-hmm. the earth. Yet 3 days later, when he was resurrected, it was this glorious, bright
light.
Day. You know, and it's all about, you know, you come into the light as a, you know, to me, it's like, you know, you come into the light as a baby, you know, and you're going through all this. And then you go through troubling times in your life when it's dark.
Yes.
You cannot see light at the end of the tunnel. But if you'll just hang in there.
Amen.
If you'll just
hang in there,
you know, get in God's word, pray about it. And, you know, even if all you can say is Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. You know,
and then he does.
And then he will. But you just have to hang in there.
You know, it's always amazing to me, guys, about how when Connie waits on God for these songs, we never know exactly how our conversation is going to end up right before a song because we don't plan this. But this is the song we're about to sing or play right now, A Strange Way to Save the World. It is a strange way to save the world, isn't it?
Amen.
By For Him.
Surprised at where this road had taken him, 'cause never in a million lives would he have dreamed of Bethlehem.
And standing at the manger, he saw with his own eyes the message from the angel come alive. And Joseph said, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why here inside this stable filled with hay? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. And now I'm not a one to second guess what angels have to such a strange way to say the word. To think of how it could have been if Jesus had come as he deserved. There would have been no Bethlehem, no Lord shepherds at his birth. But Joseph knew the reason love had to reach so far. And as he held the Savior in his arms, he must have thought, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why here inside this stable filled with hay? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. And now I'm not a one to second guess what angels have such a strange way to say the word. Oh, 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 oh. Now I'm not a one to second guess what angels have to say. Such a strange way to say the word.
Wow. Oh, I love that. That's a great song. Let's go to John chapter 1. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Deb and Alice, it's a joy to have you here live and in person instead of on the phone like we have to have you. You're our regular, you are part of our regular radio team, and so it's really good to have you in the studio today and in Tampa in our service today and next Sunday, which is really cool. And you were ministering to music, so y'all, you need to come out and hear these two sing. It was powerful today, very powerful. We've been talking about the darkness, the light, the sea fog, if you will, as we're experiencing driving to the studio today. And Deb, I want you to share John 1, verses 1 to 5, because when we were just now talking, when that song was playing, it just all came together for us, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Of what God is trying to say on the air today to people listening. And by the way, our shows eventually end up on our website within a few weeks, so this show will come back up, you know, on the website soon. But anyway, talk about this, Deb. Read it, if you will.
I'm reading from the New King James Version. This is John 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was light of men.
Mm-hmm.
And the light shines in the darkness. And
light shines where?
And the light shines in the darkness.
The darkness. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
And the darkness did not comprehend it, did not overtake it.
The darkness could not overpower, it says in the Message Bible. The darkness cannot overpower the light. Can anybody say amen to that?
Amen. Amen.
All right. Go ahead.
And then it goes on in verse 6. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John.
That's John the Baptist. We've been talking about that baby that was born to Zechariah and Elizabeth.
This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world.
And that light is
Jesus Christ.
Jesus. And so John the Baptist was sent as a forerunner to tell people, you need to repent. The Savior has come. This is the moment in history, people, we've been waiting on, that God the Father has sent the Messiah in the form of his son Jesus to this earth. And by the way, does everybody know that the name Jesus means God is salvation? And God could not have named his child Fred, or Henry, or Dustin, or any other name. He had to name him Jesus because the meaning of the name Jesus, and we'll talk more about this next week on the radio show, the name means God is our salvation. Praise God.
And Jesus is our salvation.
He's our salvation. So those dark moments, Alice, there are so many of them in our lives. And some people listening today may have related to some of the things that you've been sharing, which has been kind of cool that you're right here and talking about real life experiences. That's what we try to do on this radio broadcast. It's we teach the word, but we talk it too. We talk life here, you know, and that we can be set free from some of these dark moments in our lives, right?
We can. And you know, one of the things that I commented about when the song was playing is you know, when you're in a dark room, and I'm talking pitch black, you can't see your hand in front of your face,
right?
If there is just a pinprick of light,
right,
suddenly you can see at least shapes. You know,
like somebody like a Bic.
Like a lighter. Yeah, somebody lights a lighter.
Or a little candle.
A little candle.
Okay.
Suddenly there's light and warmth in the room.
Right.
You know? So just that little piece of light can dispel so much darkness.
Amen.
And I also mentioned that, you know, if you're in a really bright room that's full of light.
Right.
If there's just a little shadow, maybe the same size as that flame would have been in the dark room.
Right.
It's just a little shadow.
You don't even notice
it.
You don't even notice it.
You know? And so, you know, you really,
that's so true.
When you're going through tough times, you know, and Christmas time is so, it can be so overwhelming because, like we said before, there's so many demands on your time.
Right.
Stay focused on the things that count, the important things. And I'm not talking about, you know, the bills and that sort of stuff.
No.
Yeah, they're important, but those aren't the things that are going to carry with you to eternity.
Exactly.
You know, the things that you're going to carry with you to eternity is that relationship that you have with God.
Amen. And I'm so glad you mentioned that, because this morning I woke up and I heard this phrase that I have said many times through the years and written in my books and all this. Yeah. Only what's done for eternity will last.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And we get so hung up in our personal lives, especially at the holiday season, with making sure I got the right gift for Aunt, you know, Susie Bell or whoever, you know, make sure she's happy or grandma's happy or whatever, when so often it's your time that somebody wants. They want you to put an arm around them and tell them how special they are to you, you know? And I think that with the economic collapse of the nation, you know, that we've experienced over the last year, year and a half, some of the things that have happened, I think one of the good things that's coming out of it is people maybe perhaps for a moment are not going to be as materialistic as we've always been.
Right.
Maybe we're beginning to appreciate each other, you know?
You know, people really need to think back to when they were a child.
Right.
And the things that they remember
as a
child.
That's a long time ago for me.
Well, you know, Well, think about it. Right. What things made an impression on you?
Exactly.
What things are, you know, to this day, now that you're an adult, and some of us are an older adult, can remember, you know, remember.
Thank you.
Remember, you know, what are those little things that you remember?
Right.
You know, is it that time that you were sitting with someone having a conversation? Is it that time that you got that special doll from someone? Is it that time that someone showed you, you know, love at in a time when you were hurting?
Exactly.
You know, and it's those things. If you can think back and remember, then those were the things that are really important.
Right.
Do you remember how much your light bill was 3 years ago? No. You know, okay, it was high. Everybody's was high. But, you know, you don't remember that. And right at that time, it was probably all consuming, you know, because you had to find the money to pay that bill.
Right.
But it's not that important.
No, it's not. And so often we do get hung up on all those things, and we can't see the forest for the trees, or we can't see the pier. You know, we can't see, we couldn't see Clearwater Beach driving. We normally can see all the skyline of Clearwater Beach. So what we are saying today is that God said, you know what? These people are in a sea fog. They're pretty bad down there. We got to do something here. It's time. Oh, it's the right time, you know, to send my son to this earth. And he did it in a way where he proved himself to be God of the impossible. Okay? He did it by making every prophecy that he had said all through the Word. And believe me, we're going to get into detail of these Wednesday night at Beacon of Hope Bible Study. So if you can be there, bring your Bible and come. Be there or be square. So get on our website at www.beaconofhopeministries.com. And you'll see our location and so forth on Almerton Road. But we encourage you to learn these facts, because in our natural lives, there's no way that all of the truths of the God's word in the Old Testament, all the prophecies, could have been fulfilled at the exact point in history that God chose to bring his son. All of those prophecies come true, every single one. There wasn't one where God was off on it. It was all true, which says God does have a plan, and God's plan is the best plan.
Amen.
Therefore, how does that apply to our daily lives? Is it possible that you are right where you are this moment because God's got something he's doing in you? And is it possible that Romans 8:28 just could be true, where it says that we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose? Is it possible that God looked down and looked for a heart and said, there's Mary, she's got a heart after me, you know? She's the one. I want to be the mother of my son. Is it possible that God saw, and I know he did, and he said, I'm going to make some situations very impossible because I want my children's faith to grow. That's what this is about. Talk to me about that concept, you guys, about faith growing in dark places in our lives. Amen. Who's up?
I guess that's me.
All right.
I don't mean to keep harping on the same subject, but, you know, for where Alice and I are now, being back in Houston, you know, we're not in a dark place. However, we are in a place that at times we feel like God is really trying, you know, our faith, because we were so connected to Beacon and, you know, being in leadership and everything.
And you still are from a distance.
We still are from 1,000 miles away.
Right.
Yet that daily interaction that we had here is not there.
Right.
You know, the Sunday church services, the Wednesday night Bible study.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've said it since we've been back here, since Saturday afternoon when we landed. You know, okay, God, why did you send us back to Houston?
Sometimes we ask those questions.
And we do. And Alice and I have asked it numerous times.
Exactly. We ask. Know? And it's okay to ask. Sometimes he chooses to tell us, and
sometimes he chooses not to.
And sometimes he chooses to show us as time goes on. We look back and go, oh, that's what was going on,
and,
right?
Yeah, and you know, it's really weird that most of the time you don't figure it out until after it's already
right.
happened.
Exactly.
You know, because when God wanted to move us down here, we were like, no.
You didn't know the plan, did you?
We didn't know the plan. And,
oh, my.
And, you know, the plan started out in one area that was, you know, specifically towards me and getting me away from, you know, from Texas and family because my mother had just recently passed away.
Right.
And I was so caught up in all the family dynamic.
Right.
Of taking care of my dad and, you know, my kids and my grandkids and helping them mourn that I wasn't mourning.
Yeah. And you weren't taking care of yourself.
And I was not taking care of myself at all. And God had to get me out of Texas and put me in a place where, sure, we've got the internet, sure, we've got the phone, but it was easier for me 1,000 miles away to ignore the phone when it rang than it was to be 15 minutes, an hour and a half, 2 hours away from the kids.
So we look back and we see God had a plan.
God had a plan.
Okay.
And God revealed that plan to us. A piece of it, you know, you
right.
need to be ready because I'm going to do this.
Right. So he gave you, like he did Mary, and like he did Zechariah, he said, here, I'm about to do this. Now, they had to come in line up with the plan.
And that the same thing happened to us.
It did. And you had a choice to make.
And it took us 4 months to line up with the plan.
Exactly.
And before we lined up, we were having a lot of things go wrong.
But then you made the choice.
But then we said, okay, fine.
And then it all fell in place.
And it all fell into place.
Okay. I know Connie did not know we'd be discussing this right now. Look at this next song.
Mm-hmm.
Mary, did you know this is incredible right here at this moment? Guys, God is trying to say something to us. I hope you're getting what God is trying to say. Listen to this song, and then we'll come back and wrap it all up. Mary, did you know?
Mary, did you know? Your baby boy would someday walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby walked where angels try? When you've kissed your little baby, then you've kissed the face of God.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Wow.
Whoa. You two are going to sing that song next Sunday at Beacon of Hope. Oh, I'm excited. I love that song. Mary, did you know? She didn't know it all, guys. I know she knew that she had a special part in history. I know that the angel said, God's going to put a child in your womb. You know, I know she knew that. But don't you think there was no way she could know every time Jesus was going to fall down and bump his knee or the fact that he would go to the cross? I mean, I think it was gradually revealed to her as time went on.
And yet she stood steady in her faith.
Yes, yes.
You know, I can't imagine what it must be like to have gone through what she went through.
It's all about faith.
That's
and,
it.
And if you didn't hear anything else today on this show, I hope you hear this. God had a plan from the beginning. He planned to send his son at exactly the time he did. He fulfilled his plan. He prophesied it. He spoke that it was going to happen. He made it all happen on time, on cue. Everything happened the way God ordained it to happen. Now, the fact that we know that God spoke all that in advance should increase your faith. It does mine. Every time I teach this, every Christmas season, my faith soars because I see God had a plan. Do we know what God's total plan is? I can honestly tell you that at age 4 or 5, when I first felt that God was calling me, I didn't even know what it meant. I was just very young, you know, as a little preacher's kid, you know, and I would feel that stirring within when my dad would preach and I would go up to the altar. In fact, it became a joke in the little church because at the end of the service, when he would call for people that wanted to come up and get saved, I was getting saved all the time. I mean, just constantly. I'm 5 and 6 years old, you know, and I just felt that stirring. And finally, my dad set me down and he goes, "You don't have to come up there and get saved all the time. You're saved. You've asked Jesus into your heart." But now that I look back, I was feeling the stirring of God within me. You know?
Yeah.
And I knew that God had something for me. Again, at 16, God called me to preach. And I said, "No, I'll be the best doctor for you I can ever be." That didn't happen. And through a whole series of circumstances. And I can say beyond a doubt, maybe if I would have known at age 4 or 16 exactly what this plan was, I might have gone, I don't think I want to sign up for that plan. That sounds like a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, going through divorce. It sounds like a whole lot of problems. I don't know if I want to sign up for that plan. And I don't think Mary knew all those details.
I don't think she did either.
And I love that song, "Mary, did you know all this was going to happen?" No, but you know what? Mary stepped out in faith. Comment on that. I've been preaching, so you comment. Your turn. Alice, you're up.
Well,
only got a few more minutes here.
You know, Mary was just, you know, like we've been saying, just amazing because she didn't know what was going on. And there's so many times that we go through life and we may feel like we have direction and have an idea of where God wants us at this moment, but we don't know where that's going to end up. You know, I know I've talked about the dream that I had when we were living here in Tampa. And I dreamt that we were standing, I was standing on a stepping stone in the middle of a pond.
Oh, yes. Yeah, right. And I remember that.
And I was like, okay, well, where do I go? What do I do now? You know, I'm stuck out here. And suddenly this stepping stone came up in front of me. And I'm like,
Through the water.
And I'm like, okay, so, you know, what's now? Because there's there. But if I step, you know, if I go there, I'm still stuck. There's no place else to go. Right. So I went, okay, let me go ahead and step out on that stone.
Right.
So I did. I stepped out on that stone and suddenly another stepping stone came up. I'm like, I'm seeing a pattern here.
Right.
So I stepped out on that stone.
Amen.
And another stone came up.
Amen.
And so I didn't, in this dream, I did not see my final destination.
Right.
But the steps were being revealed to me as I went along.
Praise God.
So we may not see the final destination of where God wants us to be.
Right.
But if we will just take those little steps when he gives them to us, we'll get there.
Amen.
And know that we're not perfect.
Right.
And God knows we're not perfect.
Right.
And you know,
You're gonna waver.
You're gonna waver and you'll fall off and get wet, but you know, you climb back up on that rock and you keep going.
That's exactly right.
One thing that we all need to know is that if we'll read our Bible, we know the final outcome.
If we know the end
God
of the
wins.
Story.
Yeah, and you know, back then they didn't.
That's exactly right.
Then they didn't know everything because we didn't have this mass media and we didn't have this book.
Right.
You know? So for those of you that may not believe, read the Bible. Exactly. Read what it says and then wait for the finale.
Wow. It's, you know, and this is why you people need church. This is why you need to be in the Word, you know, because God wants to reveal to you those steps, Alice, just like you're talking yes. about. You know, and that night that I was 16 years old and at that altar prayer, at my dad had preached this revival, and I felt God calling me. I mean, it brings me to tears because I knew that I was to be a minister, you know, and I said, no, I've got my plan, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be the best doctor for you I can ever be. I knew in my gut, somehow I knew that God had this in store, even though I couldn't see this, all of us sitting here in our Big Bird yellow t-shirts here on the radio so many years later. But I knew God had the plan, and I knew he had put it within me. But I, like so many of us, said, no, I've got my plan. This is my plan. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get married young, have kids. I'm going to do this, going to do that, going to do all that. And I did do all those things, but God never gave up on me. And at a later date, he goes, now you're ready to be the pastor I called you to be? Now you're ready to do it? Yes, Lord, this time I am.
It's amazing, Ooh. And I think it's so wonderful that God doesn't give up on
he
us.
He does not, Alice. Oh, you know, and those of you sitting out there right now in a sea fog, those of you that are feeling totally and completely inundated with pain, emotional, maybe physical, whatever, God's got the plan. Comment on all that.
You know,
well, I wipe my tears here.
You know, getting into God, getting into God's word.
Last thought.
You know, find a church, find some group.
Amen.
You know, nobody cares if you want to go sit on the back pew and not say anything.
Just get in the word.
Just get there and get in the word, and that fog will lift.
Amen.
I promise you, that fog will lift.
Amen. Alice, comment.
Just, you know, take the little steps.
All right, take them step by step.
Take those
Amen.
Little steps one at a time, and God will reveal the path.
Exactly.
And you know that if it's God's path, it's a good thing.
Amen.
Amen.
BeaconOfHopeMinistries.com. Go there, find out all about us. Beacon of Hope Ministries with an IES on it, .com. Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock, 3580 Almerton Road, Clearwater. Sunday morning at 11, worship service. And every single week at 4:30 on 1340 Tan Talk. Join us for this live radio show. Deb and Alice, what a joy to have you today with us live in the studio.
It's been a blessing.
It's been a great show. And I really hope that there are people out there that if you need prayer, write Alice directly and the rest of us too at prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. Somebody will respond to you right away and will take your prayer request to the throne of God.
Amen.
You can be a part of that prayer team just by writing prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. And it's always a joy to be with you. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister with my little buddies, Deb and Alice, here this Sunday and every Sunday on this radio show. Tell some people about the show and invite them to join you. And we are having a Christmas Eve candlelight service on Wednesday night, December 23rd at 7 o'clock at our facility. We welcome you. Put that on your calendar, December 23rd. You are welcome. God bless you. Have a great week. And guess what, guys? It's not far to Jesus.
It's not far to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
It's not far to Jesus.
LRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
Bandmaster and members of the band for getting us off to a good start. If it's the second Sunday night of the month, then it is Say It With Music. And if that Sunday night happens in the month of December, then it's Advent Say It With Music, tonight presented by the band and songsters. It's a delight to have you with us. I'm not going to take the time away from the program to welcome any visitors individually, but if you're with us for the first time, please know that we are delighted that you're here. You are always welcome at the Salvation Army, and never more so than when we have Say It With Music. I'd like to call your attention to the fact that the band tonight is, as always, under the direction of Bandmaster Max Wood. Would you welcome the band to the bandstand? And the Citadel Songsters, on this side, are under the direction of songster leader Debbie Ford. Would you greet the songsters? Major May Anderson will be presiding at the Steinway Grand this evening. Will you greet May? She's right way back there. And there will be other participants throughout the program who are listed by name there. Now, will you join with me as we pray together? This is a Say It With Music, an Advent Say It With Music. And so I thought that we should start with the prayer of a song. Christians have been singing these words of Charles Coffin during Advent since the year 1736. Will you pray with me? Thou art our salvation, Lord, our refuge and our great reward. Without thy grace, we waste away like flowers that wither and decay. To heal the sick, stretch out thine hand, and bid the fallen sinner stand. Shine forth, and let thy light restore earth's own true loveliness once more. Then, cleansed be every soul from sin, make straight the way of God within, and let each heart prepare a home where such a mighty guest may come. All praise, eternal Son, to thee, whose advent doth thy people free, whom with the Father we adore, and Holy Spirit evermore. And God's people said, Amen. And now I have some Advent announcements to make. These are announcements for common people, shepherds, fishermen, Salvationists, humble, poor people like you and me, sort of a fanfare for common men and women. But the announcements are not from me or the Corps officer. The announcements are from God Himself. And they're specifically directed to individuals here tonight. For those who are facing dark life situations. God announces, the people walking in darkness will see a great light. In him is life, and the life is the light of men. God says, I, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, have shined in your hearts to give light, knowledge, and my glory in the face of Jesus Christ. For those who are facing great loneliness and anxiety, God announces, my son became flesh and moved into your neighborhood. And his name is Wonderful Counselor and the Prince of Peace. For those in deep sadness, and some of you are here tonight, God announces, I give you good tidings of great joy. Unto you is born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Cast all your cares and burdens on him, because he cares deeply for you. For those with unforgiven sin, God announces, his name is Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. I sent him to seek and to save all who are lost. And for those who want a big Christmas gift this year, God announces, I love you so much that I gave my only begotten Son, who in turn gives to you the gift of eternal life. God's announcements for his people, wherever, whoever, and however you are tonight. And now I invite you to sing with me the lovely Christmas carol, The First Noel the Angel Did Say. It's number 90 in your red song books in the front of the pew there. We will sing together the first, the fifth, and the sixth stanzas. I was going to sing all six, but unfortunately the band can't stand that and play four selections on the program tonight. So we're going to give them a little respite for the opening song, verse 1, 5, and 6. And will you stand with me, please?